Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble, at your service. Always a pleasure. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're really glad you're here. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to be glad you did, because we got a father-son act back on the show, folks. Our good friends Chad and Jeff Kozer are back on the show. These guys are experts at helping companies like yours and mine put our best foot forward in the marketplace. They're the authors of Selling to Zebras, How to Close 90% of the Business You Pursue. How about that, 90%? That's a pretty high close ratio there, Chad.
Well, we strive for perfection, and if that's not achievable, then we'll keep on trying.
There you go. Well, now, Jeff, I'd like excellence. I prefer excellence to perfection. Because I know I'm perfect, but the people I work with aren't, see?
I tell Chad a similar story.
Yeah, exactly. My kids don't buy that, though, when I talk about me being perfect. They don't buy that. I'm not sure where I lost that battle, but I know one of the things you guys have been working on and talking about lately is how to is it like an assessment? You're thinking about an assessment or some kind of an evaluation of your organization to make sure that you're hitting on all cylinders. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, we do that. We do that on the sales side. We help companies with a best practice sales cycle assessment, Jim.
Is any of that? Pardon me, but I'm kind of on this kick today. I've gotten back on my thank you soapbox today. Is any of that assessment involve making sure that your employees, your people, all up and up the down the line, make sure that our customers, when they leave, they feel like we've loved them up to within an inch of their lives. We've thanked them profusely. We've told them how much we appreciate their business. Is that part of it?
Not only that, but making sure that they've achieved all the value that you've promised them when you sold them whatever you sold them.
Yeah. So you're saying no, don't just presume that you did, but ask them.
Right. Verify that you've done that. Make sure that you've given them everything they need to achieve that value so that they're 100% completely satisfied. You know, that'd be the type of excellence that we're looking for once you close a deal. There's no other way to do it. That's the only way to truly satisfy a customer and make them referenceable and have it lead to repeat business.
So, Jeff, it's not just enough to say thank you and presume that you did a good job. You want an interview. You want 20 questions on how good a job did I do.
Actually, that's accurate. The best thank you that you could give them would be to understand the promises that they made surrounding the purchase of your solution and make sure that those promises were achieved.
You know, one of the things that I do, and I think it works in other venues, in other scenarios, I'm often interviewed by journalists around the country, and as they're asking me questions, as I'm answering their questions, I actually stop and say, how am I doing so far? And you know, they'll tell me that, you know, that I need to kick it up in another gear or I'm doing fine or whatever. But I mean, what would be wrong with the salesperson, somebody who's helping a customer, to actually say, how are we doing? How am I doing so far? Am I, you know, what would be wrong with that?
Well, I think many customers would say, well, now that you've asked.
Yeah.
And they would really tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I would definitely encourage that approach.
Is there a better way to do that?
Well, I think you have to have a plan for talking to them. I mean, you have to let them know that bad news or the truth is okay.
Right. Your best friend is a customer who tells you when you're not living up to your expectations.
Yes.
To their expectations.
Well, I would hope that most salespeople would be in touch with what's going on with them enough to have a pretty good idea of what that answer is going to be before they ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
And to be ready with the data that that supports either indicators of success or indicators that improvement is needed.
I used to have my own little indicator back when I sold for a living, meaning I had, you know, quite a few transactions in a week. If I went more than a week without somebody telling me how much they admired my enthusiasm, I realized I need to kick it back into high gear. I mean, without asking anybody, I expected people to tell me, wow, I appreciate your enthusiasm for this.
I think that's a good self-gauge.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think, Jim, to make it okay to talk openly about the experience that a customer's having with you, you almost need to be honest with yourself and have a couple of things that you know you could have done better
mm-hmm.
in your pocket.
That's that self-analysis thing that I also learned how to do years ago, and it works. We're going to talk about this perspective with Chad and Jeff Kozer some more after these messages. 20 till. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out and use it to your advantage. We've got lots of stuff there that will help you with your small business to read, to listen to ask questions. You can subscribe to my newsletter, subscribe to my blog. Check it out while you're there. And, of course, my knowledge base, askjim.biz, is there. Lots of stuff. It will help you 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between. We got something for you. You can follow me on Twitter also at Jim Blasingame, twitter.com slash Jim Blasingame. Chad Kozer and Jeff Kozer, father and son team, authors of Selling the Zebras. They're our guests, members of our Brain Trust, very valuable members. We're talking about your organization, folks, and have you looked internally? Have you done a little bit of an assessment? I think I've talked to you guys about learning how to the self-analysis thing over the years. So Jeff, you're talking what you guys are talking about these days is helping companies do a self-analysis on their organization, aren't you?
We are. We call it forcing success, Jim.
Forcing success.
Yes.
You mean some people resist it?
Well, you know, sometimes depending on the complexity of a project that you're working on, sometimes you get mired in the details and you forget about the metrics or the reasons why you did it to begin
mm-hmm.
with. And the whole idea behind forced success is just keeping those as in the forefront and keeping those as the objective and reminding everyone why you're doing this to begin with so that everybody focuses on the right things.
And, you know, Chad, one of the things that I see happening all the time, and I guess it happens in my small business, is kind of a human thing, and that is the owner who knows everything about what he or she wants the business to be presumes that not only has that person, that owner, told employees and trained them on this vision, but which they may or may not have done, but presumes that all the employees are just as motivated as the owner is. And that's a presumption that's fraught with peril, isn't it?
Absolutely, because the employee, unless specific steps are taken to help them to understand the value that the owner of the business is striving for through its people and its solutions that it purchases, they're not going to be on the same page. The employees tend to, you know, they're your foot soldiers. They're
right
in general. And we'd always like them to be more than that and have a bigger picture in mind. But in order to accomplish that, it needs to be consistently reinforced from the top down.
And Jeff, surveys that I've seen recently show, this is sad, the news is bad, actually, that one-third of employees are engaged. I'm amalgamating, you know, four or five surveys I've seen. One-third are engaged, one-third are somewhat engaged, and one-third are not engaged at all.
So I got to believe that's true.
Yeah, so basically you kind of give up on one-third. You try to redeem the middle third, but you can't abuse the first third.
Jim, do you think that's more just a statistic tied to human nature?
No, I think it's tied to the marketplace, the way the marketplace is today.
Okay.
I don't think it's human nature. I mean, there is some human nature in there because you know the problem with humanity, right, Chad? The problem with humanity is the humans. But the thing is that I think it's the marketplace. I think we've built so much anxiety and fear in the marketplace, and we've taken for granted some of these younger generations. I think the folks in the younger generation, Chad, your generation, I think we've not done a good job of really connecting them to the marketplace and the way the marketplace really works. I think that's my generation's fault.
Well, I don't think the culture of businesses has yet adapted to what's coming. And in some respects, I'm a little bit fearful about making that transition happen from the older generations to not only my generation, but especially the generations that are coming after me, because the differences as you go younger in years are becoming even more and more vast, and it's happening more rapidly than it's ever has before.
And Chad just says something very interesting. The market hasn't adapted to those generations. Jeff, when you and I were coming up, I've got more gray hair than you have, but you're not too far behind me. When we were coming up, the market didn't adapt to us. We adapted to the market.
You put your finger on it, Jim. The upcoming generations, though, are more powerful from that perspective.
And bigger,
and they're holding on to their ideals.
And I'll tell you something else. They own some stuff. They possess stuff that you and I didn't possess, Chad. I mean, Jeff. They possess knowledge about things that the marketplace is going to be using. When you and I were coming up, we were taught everything we needed to know. These kids are coming up with things that we need them to know, like social media.
It's very true. I mean, Chad and I are a couple of generations apart just due to age, and Chad is beyond the generation. He's a generation ahead of those coming out of college, and maybe a generation and a half ahead of those coming out of high school. And when we went to a technology conference that we talked to you about when you and Chad and I spoke in mm-hmm. June, more of what they said fell on fertile ground with Chad than it did with me. There's no question.
So this is
important.
I was out of touch already.
This is important in this assessment we're talking about, right? Because you need to make sure that you have a different way of dealing with the younger generations, or you may be finding holes in your operation that needs a member of the younger generation. What do you think, Chad?
We can't maximize our productivity until we learn how to work with everyone that we hire.
Right? Yeah.
If we're going to hire from that younger generation, then we definitely need to learn how to communicate with them. Even I have to keep up with that so that I'm getting the best out of the younger generation, mm-hmm. the generation that's a decade behind me, because evolution is happening more quickly than it ever has.
Hold on to that thought, folks. We're going to take a quick break. Chad and Jeff Koser are our guests, K-O-S-E-R. The book is Selling to Zebras, and it's outstanding. It's a book it's not only a beautiful book, it's an important book that you need to know about. I think it's one that will help you in the next decade for sure. Tintail, stay with me. I promise I'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. Little Heart bringing us back. The Wilson sisters, Ann and Nancy. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We got the Wilson sisters bringing us back to the Koser boys, Chad and Jeff, father and son. I should say Jeff and Chad, father and son. And they're the authors of the book Selling to Zebras. Chad, give us the website. Tell us how we can find you and you guys and your book.
Well, it's www.sellingtozebras.com, www.sellingtozebras.com. It's also the name of the book, and there's a link right from our website that you can go directly to Amazon and order our book, or you can search for Selling to Zebras on Amazon.com. It's also available in Barnes & Noble and other big bookstores across
what
the country.
What if somebody wants an autographed copy?
If you would like an autographed copy, all you got to do is email us, and we'll ship one out to you personally.
Take care of that, folks. Thank you for that. Chad, remind the audience what a zebra is. Besides, not the striped one, the other one.
Well, our zebra is the profile of your perfect prospect, and that's what we help our customers create. It's what we help our readers create for their businesses. It's identifying all the ways the unique ways that you create value for your customers. Way you've done that in the past with your existing customers, you can identify who the best targets are for becoming your future customers.
And the best one of the best ways to do that, Jeff, is to do what we've been talking about, this internal evaluation of your organization to make sure that your organization, your team, has been trained and they're practicing the best practices that help you find zebras. But once you find them, you got to keep them, don't you?
You do, and to have everybody talking the same language and understanding what a perfect prospect looks like and how close the next one comes to perfection and how you can help them achieve the promises that they make that are going to cause them to buy from you. If mm-hmm. everybody speaks that same language and works in concert from top to bottom in your organization, you create more value for them, and that creates more value for your business, and you'll grow.
The biggest mistake that small business owners make, it's one in terms of the organization. There's some big financial mistakes that they make, but organizationally, the biggest mistake that small businesses make is not doing any training, but even when they do some training, not doing it often enough and not doing it properly. What do you think, Chad?
Well, it costs more to go out and find a new customer than it does to keep an existing one. Far more.
Say that again. Say that again. Folks, this is going to be on the test.
It costs far more to go out and pursue a new customer or a prospect than it does to keep an existing customer. And the same principle applies to the employees that mm-hmm. you hire. So mm-hmm. make sure that you hire the right employees, that you close the right deals with the right customers ahead of time, and make sure you do what it takes to keep those employees and keep those customers.
So regardless of whether you're hiring an accountant or a salesperson, Jeff, you probably should hire somebody who acts like they understand the dynamic between a company and its customers.
There's no question. If you've ever called your own business and listened to the person that answers the phone, you can figure out very quickly that any weak link can hurt you.
If every small business today would do that, about half of them would be shocked at their experience, wouldn't they?
You know, I've found that to be true.
Make sure the person that you hire to answer your phone answers it with a smile on his or her face every time.
You can
hear that smile over the telephone.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and the person, it was a friend of mine, and I told him about an unfortunate experience I had, or an undesirable experience that I had on the phone when the phone was answered in his business. You know, we all do that for each other. And he was amazed because this person was one of the nicest people that he knew. But it wasn't that the person wasn't nice, it's just that they weren't doing it the right way.
And that's education, coming back to the point you were making.
Exactly. So this requires, though, this self-analysis of our own business. We have to take a hard look at our business. And Chad, sometimes that hurts a little bit, doesn't it?
No question. And you know, with all the worry that we might be doing over what's to come with future generations, business will survive. The market will go on, but it's the ones that figure out how to adapt to what's coming with the new generations that are becoming a part of their business that will survive.
We're going to let the gray beard have the last word, Jeff. 30 seconds.
Well, what came to mind was another book, Jim. It's called The Loyalty Effect, mm-hmm. and it talked about employees adding more and more value up to the 7-year mark, where they're in the same job mm-hmm. for 7 years. And I think with the generational changes happening, it's going to become increasingly harder to keep people for that many years.
And it may drop down to 4 years. Hey, Chad and Jeff, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blessingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.